Good morning to everyone in TV land. God's peace and blessing upon you as we celebrate today Laetare Sunday. Laetare being the Latin word for rejoice, which comes from our entrance antiphon today, Rejoice Jerusalem. Be joyful, all you who were in mourning. We rejoice today because Lent is now more than half over, and the Lord's resurrection is drawing very near. The rose vestments today are a symbol of joy and hope right in the middle of a penitential season. Christian joy is compatible with mortification and sacrifice, because joy is the opposite of sorrow, not of penance. Yet at this time, more than ever, we feel such acute mortification and pain without being able to receive our Eucharistic Lord. Lent seems so much longer, and our journey with the cross becomes heavier. Truly, we are sharing in the cross of the Lord. We're experiencing the loss of Jesus, like the apostles on that first Holy Saturday, huddled together in fear of the unknown. They were anxious, afraid, and lost. And yet, Jesus had never actually abandoned them. He promised at the Last Supper, "I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you." Our Lenten penances and sacrifices, then, do not make interior joy impossible. Rather, they should increase our joy because our redemption is near at hand. The apostles experienced such joy at seeing Jesus risen from the dead on Easter Sunday, and that gave new meaning to their lives. So penance and joy go together if they're real. In this world, anyway, neither is perfect without the other. Even beware when you find one without the other. Besides, the great penance message of the modern world was given by Our Lady in 1917 at Fatima, Our Lady who is also called the cause of our joy. Today's gospel presents us with images of light and darkness, of sight and blindness. Blindness is an image of our sinful condition, and we, like the blind man, were born in sin, original sin. But by God's free gift, we have been enlightened by Christ through baptism. In a few short phrases of our second reading, St. Paul sums up our entire past, present, and future. He says, "Once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live always as children of the light." Baptism gives us spiritual sight, but that's only the beginning of the journey. The man in the gospel was cleansed with water, a symbol of baptism. But look at his progression from spiritual blindness to faith. First, he describes our Lord as the man called Jesus, and then a prophet, and then a man from God. But only when he encounters Jesus personally are his eyes fully opened, and he worships Jesus as the Son of Man and the Lord. Faith is assent to the truth that God has revealed, especially through his Son Jesus and through the Church. On one level, faith is a gift from God. It's a supernatural virtue infused by him. But faith is also a very human act. It makes rational sense to believe in a personal, loving God who keeps us in existence. Faith says, "I believe," even when we can't see God, even when things are so difficult. With everything seeming to crumble around us amid so much uncertainty, we remain rooted in the firm foundation of our faith. We say, "I believe," because the one who made the promise is trustworthy, and God cannot deceive us. In faith, we believe everything that the Catholic Church teaches as being revealed by God. By using material elements, such as spit and mud and water, Jesus shows us that he has truly become man in the incarnation. And today, he continues to use outward signs to convey his internal grace through what we call sacraments. For example, the waters of baptism wash away original sin. In baptism, we see only the physical, tangible element of water, But Jesus takes away sin through this water, just as he actually restored sight to the man born blind through the waters of Siloam. But the greater miracle in the gospel is not actually the restoration of the man's physical sight. This man, in his poverty and simplicity, has come from the darkness of spiritual blindness into the light of faith. Yes, he can now see Jesus with his physical eyes, but he professes faith in what he cannot see, namely, the divinity of Jesus. And this is exactly what happens in the Eucharist. We see only the material elements of water, of wine, of bread. But at the Last Supper, Jesus took bread and wine. He said, "This is my body. This is my blood." It's not a symbol, and it's not a manner of speaking. The Eucharist is truly the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus said it, and his words bring about the effect, can we ever doubt that the bread and wine truly become the body and blood of Jesus? Fortunately, Jesus has given us the church and the sacramental life through which we nurture our faith. But in this time, without direct access to the Eucharist, I encourage you to spend time studying our rich Catholic faith. Read the scriptures daily. Read the catechism or some other spiritual book. To grow in knowledge of Christ and our faith, we have to read. We've all heard the phrase, "You are what you eat." True enough. But I like the phrase, "You are what you read." Because what we put into our heads shapes how we think, and how we think shapes how we act and choose. Now, we've all read a lot of news and headlines recently, but have we read any books over the past several months? If so, were they worthwhile or just mindless trash? Of course, it's important to read good literature, history, and the like. But we also have to read spiritual books to nourish our souls. And here, I'm not talking about long theological treatises, but basic spiritual reading, such as The Lives of the Saints, The Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales, or anything by Father Thomas Dubay or Father Jacques Philippe, who write simple books on prayer, very accessible. And many of these resources are available online. A priest once challenged me to divide the number of pages in a book with the number of days that I wanted to read that book. For example, I could complete a 100-page book in less than 3 weeks by reading only 5 pages a day. Whenever we have a free moment, instead of checking social media or the news once again, we could read 1 or 2 pages so that by the end of the day, we reach our given quota. It's a simple way to win small victories throughout the day, and spiritual reading always provides great insights to bring to prayer. With many other activities and events canceled, we can spend more time reading and studying our faith, even only 5 to 10 pages a day. Now is also a great opportunity to spend time with our families, perhaps playing games or getting some exercise, praying the family rosary, or reading or cooking together. All of us have been given this gift of time, but we have to use this time wisely, this newfound time that the Lord has given to us, because time is a great gift, but we'll also be accountable on the day of judgment for that gift. Christ is the giver of light, and he opens our eyes through the sacrament of baptism. He has encountered us, but now we want to develop that encounter each day. We who already believe want to drink from the fullness of God's truth. We've tasted eternal delights, and now we thirst for more. But the flame of faith has to be nurtured. It has to be, as St. Anselm said, a faith that seeks understanding. So we can use our physical sight to develop spiritual sight by reading good books and meditate more deeply on the death and resurrection of Christ and the tremendous love that God has for each one of us. I highly recommend an amazing spiritual book called The Power of Silence. The Power of Silence, written in 2016 by Cardinal Robert Serra, who is a cardinal prefect in Rome. It's very dense, but it will change your life. Even the introduction is so moving. Without a doubt, it's the most compelling introduction that I've ever read in my entire life. The introduction is written not by a famous church prelate or a popular author, but by the French interviewer, who has clearly learned something about silence by observing the man he interviews. Now, the same dynamic duo had teamed up a year earlier to write God or Nothing, another brilliant book, but much more accessible because it contains personal anecdotes of the cardinal's life and also some of his views on church and societal matters. I suggest that you read this book first, God or Nothing. But getting back to the introduction on the book on silence. Now, I don't want to give away all the details, but it highlights the spiritual friendship of Cardinal Serra with a young French Carthusian brother whose illness had deprived him of the ability to move about and speak. How can someone build a personal and intimate friendship on a couple of short visits with a bedridden person who can't even speak? Well, you'll have to read the book to find out. But I can give you a hint. Their friendship is built on the power of silence. Now, silence is nothing new for someone seeking God. In the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah withdrew to the silence of the mountains, and many monks and religious since then have withdrawn from the world to encounter God. Nature operates in silence. God operates in silence. So we need silence in our search for God today more than ever. But how do we live silence every day? I'm so glad you asked. Here, I encourage you to tune in to our live stream of the 40 Hours Devotion tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. on the parish website, ourladyofhope.net, where you're watching right now. My reflections will stem from one powerful quote from this book. If we want to grow and to be filled with the love of God, it is necessary to plant our life firmly on three great realities: the cross, the host, and the virgin. The cross, the host, and the virgin. These are the three mysteries that God gave to the world in order to structure, fructify, and sanctify our interior life and lead us to Jesus. These three mysteries are to be contemplated in silence. So I'll be giving reflections on the cross, the host, and the virgin at 7:30 p.m. on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and you can watch them online. On Wednesday, we also celebrate the joyful solemnity of the Annunciation. With Our Lady's yes, the Son of God came to dwell in her womb. So let's entrust all things, great and small, to Mary's Immaculate Heart. Look what a consolation she was to the apostles who had abandoned Jesus. With her help, we also will experience such peace and joy in the Holy Spirit in ways that we had never known possible. Because the Holy Spirit pours himself out in greatest abundance on the person who welcomes his beloved spouse, Our Lady, who continues to be our hope in the uncertainty and turmoil of the world. With her in mind, let us redouble our efforts to pray the family rosary each day. Because she specifically asked this favor of us, and because we need her help and intercession now more than ever, she who is the Mother of God and our Mother also. Jesus promised, "In the world you will have distress, but have confidence. I have overcome the world." May God bless you.